Have your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Yeah, we're asking that question. Are you living with prostate cancer? And what's been the most difficult part of living with the illness? Perhaps you can share that story with us as we talk to Dr. Nyati. But really, this month of November is a time dedicated to raising awareness around men's health issues. And with it being the last week of November, it's key to focus on prostate cancer. That's the thinking. Understanding the symptoms and understanding as well how you can adjust to your lifestyle when living with it, and why it is that some men live longer than others when diagnosed with this illness. On that note, it's time to say good morning to Dr. Fundile Nyati, the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions and, of course, the show's resident doctor. Hi, Dr. Nyati.
Good morning, Rasilla, and good morning to your listeners.
Dr. Nyati, so this during the month of November, there's a global campaign, that hashtag Movember, that is focused on raising awareness that is focusing on raising awareness around men's health issues. And part of that conversation is prostate cancer, which is quite an interesting conversation to have, because we all know and we've heard messaging around when men should and at what age men should start checking that prostate and taking care. But let's just go back to the very, very beginning. What is prostate cancer?
Well, prostate cancer is a cancer that affects a small gland. You know, it's a walnut-sized gland that's located just below the bladder. In males, it's part of the male reproductive system. It actually produces what we call seminal fluid, fluid that's important for the transportation and also nutrition of sperms that are obviously produced, by the testes. So it actually has an important function in the reproductive system.
Sure.
And that is that small organ just below, the bladder. And so when cells go rogue within that gland, you know, they change and start multiplying, much faster than, the normal cells, then some of those may turn cancerous, leading to problems within the prostate itself or to the surrounding tissues, like the rectum or the bladder. And sometimes it may even spread via the lymphatic system to the bones in the vertebral column, and even spread beyond those regional, kind of organs to other organs. So it is actually a very, very, and the most common type of cancer for men across the world, and also here in South Africa. So it is something that is important for us to talk about. And one thing, its incidence, per 100,000 population has been increasing exponentially, a study that was done between 1986 and 2006, that's a 20-year period, has found that actually we're getting more and more people with prostate cancer in South Africa. And in terms of it causing deaths, it used to be number three in terms of causing deaths in South Africa, but now it's actually the number two reason for males to die from cancer, in South Africa. So it is very, very important that we actually, create this kind of awareness.
Absolutely. Any sense, Dr. Nyati, about why the incidence of prostate cancer is increasing?
Let's just start with the causes. We really do not know what causes, prostate cancer. I think let's start there. As medical people, we know so many things, but there are also things that we don't know. We don't know what causes prostate cancer. But there are risk factors that are actually, known. About these kinds of cancers, and one of those has to do with African ancestry. You know, people of African ancestry anywhere in the world actually have got a higher risk of cancer of the prostate. They, you know, also there is a familial connection.
Okay.
So there are families where if you have, you know, a blood relative, you know, a father or a sibling or even a son who has got prostate cancer, your chances are much, much higher. So although we don't know, but we know those risk factors.
All right, fantastic. You know,
and age is one of those as well.
Yeah. Well, take us through the symptoms and we'll talk about, take us through the symptoms if you would, and we'll talk about age and the fact that, and
yeah,
the fact that, you know, traditionally we've understood that you need, when you reach a certain age, that is when you get screened for it, or that's when you go to your doctor and you might have a prostate examination. And within that conversation, we understand men's aversion to that specific examination, and perhaps we'll see if there are new tools at our disposal to actually diagnose prostate cancer. What are the symptoms?
Yeah. All right, I think I must start by saying quite a number of people who have got prostate cancer, there are no symptoms in the early stages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, remember, it's a smallish, you know, gland, walnut size type of gland. So most people at the early stages, they won't have any symptoms, which is why screening becomes so important. But once it gets to later stages where it is now spreading to nearby organs like the bladder, then you may start to have problems. So some of the symptoms of this thing is that you have frequent passing of urine, especially at night. So if you are a male and you've got frequent passing of urine, especially at night, and diabetes has been excluded, then think seriously about cancer of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got difficulty in starting or stopping urination, think seriously about this cancer.
Okay.
If you've got weak or interrupted urinary stream or painful or burning sensation during urination or even during ejaculation, blood in urine or semen, then you must think about this cancer, because it then means it has started to cause problems in those nearby organs.
Is there any onset of erectile dysfunction as well in some cases?
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. Erectile dysfunction could actually be one of the presenting symptoms in advanced prostate cancer. It may be because of the cancer itself, or for people who are undergoing treatment, it may be a complication of treatment. So, yes, you are right.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Nyati, just reading up on some of these symptoms, things like you mentioned the fact that, you know, it can and may spread if untreated to other areas of the body. Now, once one is experiencing pain in the back or unexplained pain in the back or hips and other bones, you know, that might be a sign as well.
It's a sign of spread to the vertebral column.
Yeah. Let's talk about how prostate cancer is diagnosed and what the screening process looks like for a doctor to know that we need to interrogate this further. And we know that it's been sort of the brunt of jokes over the years about, you know, doctor slipping on the glove and you have to bend over. But, you know, it really isn't. Yeah, it really isn't a joke, though. Why? How have we been working to destigmatize just that number one screening process, and are there other ways to get to find out if your prostate is in a healthy state or not?
Well, you know, the reason why we've got this Movember is that generally as males, we are very poor with help-seeking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's start there. So by having this month, we want to encourage men to look after their health. And one of the things that they need to do is to go and screen for prostate cancer. And how is that done? Normally, you know, as a GP or a family doctor, you would ask, you know, the gentleman, you know, to do what we call digital rectal examination, mm-hmm. where we use the glove and we put, you know, some KY jelly, and we actually insert that finger and try and palpate, you know, this organ to feel whether it is enlarged or not, and what is the surface, is it regular or irregular, uh-huh. and all of that. All right, but most men hate that test. You know, and so what has been done then recently is that we do what we call PSA test, prostate specific antigen, which is a protein that is produced by the prostate gland, which if elevated, it may be a pointer to the fact that somebody has got, you know, a cancer. But it doesn't always mean that. It could just be that there's an enlargement, mm-hmm. but that's not cancerous. All right, so prostate cancer. And it's much easier now to do this PSA because we can even do a prick test that allows you to get the results within 10, 15 minutes, you know, okay. in our surgeries. So that is what has been done. But with advances in technology, there's now sonar, that we, you know, a sonar thing that we can put through the rectum, and we get images of the prostate gland, which will then tell us exactly what's happening there. So depending, you know, on where one is, because issues of access are still a problem in our country.
Yeah.
In some of the places, people can get that transrectal, you know, ultrasound, but otherwise the old digital rectal examination is still the right thing to do, and also screening through the PSA.
Absolutely, very key. Dr. Nyathi, once you've found out with your doctor that you do in fact have prostate cancer, what are the options available to you?
Well, obviously, that diagnosis will have been made through that ultrasound I spoke about, or MRI, or a biopsy of the enlarged gland. Now, the options there. Quite a number of options, but I also need to say there are quite a number of people, because what we really need to know once you've been diagnosed is how aggressive is your type of prostate, because there are some types of the prostate cancer that are actually less aggressive. In that case, they may not even need to be treated, but just, yearly surveillance without any treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But so that is the starting point. You've got cancer. Is it aggressive or not aggressive? Mm-hmm. And there are certain tests that we do to look at that. You know, we're grading it 6 up to about 10. Anything, you know, closer to 10, 8 up to 10, we say it's an aggressive type of prostate cancer under the Gleason score. So from 8 to 10, we then need to treat you. And what are the options? Surgery is one of the options. That, so we remove it. If it is just limited to the prostate, surgery is one of the ways of dealing with it. But in some cases, it may have spread, or after the surgery, you may need some radiotherapy or even chemotherapy to try and kill the cancer cells.
Yeah.
All right. But in some instances, we may even do what we call, you know, hormone therapy, because cancer cells or prostate cells in general, they depend on the male hormone testosterone to grow. So if we starve them of the testosterone, mm-hmm. then in a way we can either stop or at least slow down the progression in terms of the multiplication of those cells.
Yeah.
But in some instances, with radiotherapy, where it has spread, maybe to local areas, or even still within the same, area, we may insert something, some pellets into the prostate itself, and then it burns the nearby, cancer cells without really causing much slow radiation over a long period of time, or you may actually go for an external beam that actually, goes and kills that over a period of about 5 weeks, although in some areas can be done earlier. So there are quite a number of options. So what's important is that people must be aware of this thing, prostate cancer being the commonest cancer. They must go for at least annual screening with the PSA, and even the DRE is still important, or the sonar, and they must know that the majority of the cases may not need treatment. But if they've got the aggressive type, and if you are black, you tend to have the aggressive type. We don't know why, but that's what we see. And so you definitely will need, you know, intervention.
All right.
If you have got the aggressive type.
Okay. I want to make time for some questions. We've got Tobile on the line. Thank you so much for calling in, Tobile. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. You can speak to Dr. Nyati.
Yeah. Hello, guys.
Morning.
Good doctor. I just wanted to find out, if you do have an enlarged prostate gland, but it hasn't caused any problem to really, no obstruction, there's no malignancy, it's just enlarged. It means when you have to empty urine, you just have to press again, but no problem. How do you deal with that?
All right. There is something that we call benign prostatic hypertrophy, where there is enlargement of the cells of the gland, but those cells are not cancerous. So what's important is for, let's say, urologists to actually just make sure that they rule out the cancer, so that you can then know that, all right, there is no need to worry about the cancer. So in such a situation, then your doctor can just monitor, you know, what you call active surveillance. You know, can just monitor, that gland of yours, maybe once a year, just to see, if the size has changed or the cells have changed. Yeah.
Can anything be done, Dr. Nyati, as Tobile has outlined? I'm guessing there must be some discomfort with, obviously not being able to vacate your bladder as easily as you might have previously, right? Or rather, empty your bladder as easily as you might have.
Yeah.
Can anything be done to ease those symptoms?
Yes.
Or that experience?
There are some tablets that we can actually give that sort of, shrink the size of the cell. I mean, one of those is called the Proska, So your doctor, after ruling out the cancer, can then, give you those tablets, which then work and make the cells to actually, reduce in size. In that way, relieve, any symptoms that may be related to the enlargement.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Tobile, thank you so much for your call. I hope that helped. We've got another question from Joyce. Good morning, Joyce. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Dr. Nyati?
Hi, Dr. Nyati, I just wanted to ask a question. Okay, in our family, quite a number of the men have had prostate cancer, and we've lost a few to it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know, in terms of the women in the family, would that translate in any way? I mean, we'd be more susceptible to, obviously, women's types of cancers or that...
Yes,
okay.
That's a very interesting and very important question.
Mm-hmm.
There is now scientific evidence that, in families where, first generation relatives have had breast cancer, or have tested positive for the breast cancer gene, BRCA1 and 2, then the males from that kind of family have got a higher chance of having prostate cancer, and vice versa. In males where there's been, a high, cancer in the family, the females are at a higher risk, so they need to go and check for those BRCA1 and 2.
Yeah, that's
so
a very key
connection there.
Yeah, that's very important to keep in mind and bear in mind when you're consulting with your own doctors, that there's a history of cancer in general in the family. Dr. Nyati, I'm just keeping an eye on the clock. If you can, in a minute, answer this question. I have a buffalo hump. I'm looking at the SMSs right now. I have a buffalo hump. I've developed breast. I'm a male and my clothes don't fit me anymore. I'm thinking of changing my regimen. Does that apply? Does that specifically apply to prostate cancer?
Well, I think what I would say there is that one needs to then talk to the treating doctor or the whoever that is treating that person to look at the treatment that he he is taking, because it could be a side effect of the treatment. So talk to your treating doctor and then see whether there is is that a side effect of the treatment, and are there other alternatives to actually lessen that.
All right. Dr. Nyati, we also know that Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu has been very vocal over the years about his about living with prostate cancer. When we think about a long-term engagement or a long-term treatment of prostate cancer, how should we start to approach it alongside our medical doctors? I mean, obviously for him, it's been, you know, a 20-year journey. But can one live a fulfilling and somewhat comfortable life alongside with alongside this illness for that time, for that long, for a long period of time?
I think if you remember, what one of the things I said was that if it is the type of prostate cancer that has got, that's less aggressive, it may not even need treatment, just, monitoring, or some hormonal therapy. So, yes, the answer is you can live with this cancer without affecting your quality of life if you are one of those lucky people who have got, the less differentiated type of prostate cancer that is less aggressive, depending on that Gleason score that I spoke about. But then it needs to be a partnership because you and your doctor must then work together in monitoring this.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for this very important conversation, Dr. Nyati. We will chat again next week, Saturday, same time, same place.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to that.
Dr. Fundile Nyati, CEO of Proactive Health.